Can we read in Acts 17? Acts 17 and verse 22. And Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, Athenians, in every way I see you given up to demon worship. For passing through and beholding your shrines, I found also an altar on which was inscribed to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye reverence, not knowing him, him I announce to you. The God who has made the world and all the things which are in it, he being Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is served by men's hands as needing something, himself giving to all life and breath and all things, and has made of one blood every nation of men to dwell upon the whole face of the earth, having determined ordained times and the boundaries of their dwelling, that they may seek God, if indeed they might feel after him and find him, although he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and exist, as also some of the poets among you have said, for we are also his offspring. Being therefore the offspring of God, we ought not to think that which is divine to be like gold or silver or stone, the graven form of man's art and imagination. God, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, now enjoins men that they shall all everywhere repent, because he has set a day in which he is going to judge the habitable earth in righteousness by the man whom he has appointed, giving the proof of it in, to all in having raised him from among the dead. I could just sit down now. That's the gospel. Increasingly, you hear people saying, oh my God. And I wonder what they mean by that. For some, it may be blasphemy. For others, who is their God? Is it themselves? Is it some great sportsman or other person? Is it money? People seem to have a God of money these days, and material things. Who is the God? Who is your God? You know, somebody went up to the preacher after a gospel and said to him that my God would never send anybody to hell. And the preacher said, you're absolutely right, because your God doesn't exist. We're dealing with a living God in the glad tidings. Paul must have, as he moved through Athens and saw all these images, what a city of idolatry it was. And then finding one, if there was somebody they'd missed out, somebody they might have offended by missing out, they had one inscribed to the unknown God. Paul says, him I announce to you. I know him. I know him personally. Is God unknown to anyone in this room tonight? I challenge your heart. Do you know God? Do you know a God who loves you and wants to bless you? You know, you hear people blaming a God that they don't believe exists for things going wrong, for not intervening in the world and what's happening in the world. I can tell you something, that the God of the Bible has intervened in the most dramatic way in the history of this world. Paul takes the Athenians up where they were. He presents a creator God to them. And you know, the Saviour that I present in the glad tidings tonight is the creator of the world, by whom also, it says in Hebrews, he made the worlds. That's the glory of Christ as my Saviour. And you know, God's first voice to man is in creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. And Paul says in Romans 2 that man is rendered inexcusable as he looks at the heavens, both his eternal power and divinity. You're not being judged tonight on whether you find God in creation, but you will be judged on your treatment of Christ. Pilate said, "What shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" That question rings down the generations. My friend, tonight, what are you going to do with Jesus? What does he mean to you? He's the revelation of God. That's who he is, who he was. And you know, not only did he create all things, but he upholds all things by the word of his power. And not only that, but that everything that has life had got it from Christ. That's what John says. Everything that had life has life, received it from Christ. He's the originator of life. Now, the Thessalonians turned from idols to serve a living and true God and await his Son from the heavens. Do you know this God? Do you know a God who loves you and wants to bless you? You know, Elihu said in Job that if God only thought of himself and withdrew his breath, all flesh would expire. The very next breath you take is given to you by God. Daniel said to Belshazzar, the God in whose hand your breath is. You thought about that? You know, Darwin's theory was well received by man because it took God, a creator God, out of the equation. And if you take a creator God out of the equation, you take an obligation to a creator God out of the equation. That's why it was so well received. But you know, not only was it a theory, which is impossible, but you know, it was a lie of Satan. That's what it was. The world in which we live was created by Christ himself. And you know, God allowed the incoming of sin into that world through the disobedience of Adam. You know, he was told not to do one thing. That was it. Just a simple test of obedience. Would he obey God or would he disobey God? It didn't matter what he was asked to do. The fact is, he disobeyed God. And because of that, sin entered the world. And by sin, death. And death has passed upon all, for all have sinned. So regardless of who you are, you are a sinner. According to the scriptures, in the sight of God. And you have an obligation to a God who created you. You have an obligation to get right with him, to be reconciled to a God. But it's impossible that you could reconcile yourself. You couldn't do anything to merit God's favor. Your righteousnesses, you know, are as filthy rags. Paul says in Corinthians that the world by wisdom has not known God. You know, you could have all the learning. Somebody wrote to David Jeremiah, who had had the best of educations on both sides of the Atlantic, and it only said it served to make him the most ignorant person in the world. It never brought him to Christ. It's need that brings you to Christ. It's need and conviction of sin. You know, love brought my Saviour to the cross, but need brought me to the cross. That's where you need to meet Jesus. It's at the cross of Calvary. That is where my Saviour suffered and tasted death for me. So God has intervened in the most remarkable way in the history of man. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. He waited 4,000 years, and in these 4,000 years, he tried man in every department. And every time man proved to be a failure, fullness of the time was come. God sent forth his Son. The wonder of the incarnation. We'll be singing about it shortly. The holy child that was found in Bethlehem's manger was none other than God over all, blessed forevermore. How was God to get near to man? Only by coming man. That's how God would draw alongside his creature. A God who loves you and desires to bless you, but had no righteous basis of doing so until Jesus came, you know. Think of God waiting. How he loved his creature. You know, how he loved Adam. He never stopped loving Adam because of what happened. He desired to bless Adam. Thank God that the work of Christ, you know, goes right back to Adam. Right back. Isn't it wonderful? What an event the incoming of Christ was, you know. The holy thing that shall be born shall be called Son of God. He shall be great. Think of what it meant for the blessed God to have a man here on earth moving entirely in his will. You know, his life was vastly different from your life. Everybody's life is studied by God, you know. He studies persons' lives. God's grace follows persons throughout their lives. But he lived a life different from every other life because his life was sin apart. The sinful seed was not passed on to my Saviour. He was born of the Holy Spirit. And he grew up among men, but in him sin was not. God required that a sinless sacrifice would be made for sin. God condemned sin in the flesh, in the very best of flesh, in his own Son. You thought about that? Jesus had to come into the human condition in order that he might take on my liability on Calvary's cross, that he might take on God's righteous judgment against the sins that I had committed and exhaust that judgment. That's why Jesus came. You know, we're all subject to death. Death is passed upon all. And your death will be the consequence of your life. His death was the purpose of his life. That's why he came, to give his life a ransom for all, or many. You know, it's universal in its provision, but it's limited in its application because you have to accept the Lord Jesus as a personal Saviour. You have to come by way of faith, by the way that the Philippian jailer came. What must I do that I may be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's wonderful, you know, the same message is available tonight. It never needed updating. We're living in a world where things need updating every month. The blessed truth of the gospel has never needed any updating. Your condition, lost condition before God, is the same as that man's was. And you are lost if you don't have Christ, if you don't have a knowledge of Christ as your Saviour. Dear friend, you're lost and you will come under judgment. John 3:16 makes that absolutely plain, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. That means you are perishing without Christ, but have life eternal. You know, God wants you to live. He didn't want you to die. He didn't want man to die, but he brought in death to limit man's life so that he wouldn't live forever in sin. But you know, the one who brought in death had to come under its power to release me from its curse. You thought about that? You know, God is all powerful, but there are things he cannot do. And he cannot forgive sin without repentance. He cannot righteously deal with sin unless it was born by Jesus. You know, the analogy is given of two partners in a firm. And say you were owed that firm money. And one of the partners just said, "Oh, just don't forget about it. Just don't worry about it." How could the righteous requirement be met with the other one? Someone has to pay that debt. And Jesus paid that debt in full. When he said, "It is finished," you know, it meant the debt was paid. Your debt, my friend, your debt before a holy and righteous God, which you had no possibility of discharging. You don't even have the currency. When they had nothing to pay, he freely forgave them. Why can God forgive the sinner tonight? Because of the finished work of Jesus. He bore our sins in his body in the tree. Do you have that peace in your heart? Do you have the knowledge that Christ died on Calvary's cross for you personally? That's the God we present. That's the Saviour we present in the glad tidings. And he's near. He's near every one of us. Think of that tonight. Seek ye the Lord while he is near. Call ye upon him. You know, think of Jesus as he moved here, passing by these places, passing through Jericho, on the way to Jerusalem to suffer and to die. Think of Bartimaeus calling out, you know, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus never went back to Jericho. That was his opportunity. "Son of David, have mercy on me." You have an opportunity tonight. Jesus is passing by in Worthing. That door may be locked next week. We're expecting the Lord to come at any point. And the gospel will go out no more. It's today. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Bartimaeus got the blessing because he wouldn't give up. And the creator of the universe stood still at the cry of a blind beggar. You know, he'll stand still tonight. Every cry of need. You don't have to be good or in the right frame or put on a certain front to come to the Saviour. Jesus, take me as I am. That's what he does, you know. A young man came to see me. He's not so young, a bit older than me actually. Shortly after I wasn't he well. He knows that I'm a believer. He was in tears actually. His father was a believer, his mother was in the open meeting. And I appealed to him and he said, "No, it's not the time for me to come to the Lord. It's not the time." I said, "What time will it ever be? The time is now. Come to Jesus as you are. Come in your need. All the fitness he requires is to feel your need of him. That's all he requires from you." I pray that he will come. He knows the terms of the gospel. He knows about Jesus. It's not the time. Well, if you hear the voice of Christ appealing in the glad tidings tonight, can I urge you to respond? I wouldn't be in your shoes for 2 minutes if you're not a believer. Judgment is coming upon this world. There's no further warning. God has given notice. Paul says it here. God has overlooked the times of ignorance. Does that mean that God overlooks sin? Not a bit of it. He overlooked the times of ignorance. That is, he was looking forward to the time when Christ would come, when the whole sin question would be dealt with. That's why the coming of the Lord Jesus changed everything in the world's history. Because before that, God was unknown, and man after the flesh was recognized. But after Christ came, God was revealed, and man after the flesh was finished completely. You know, the order of manhood to which you and I belong was finished at the cross. God's not looking for anything from you after the flesh. He's not looking for you to try your best, to do what you can, to go to church every week, to give to charity, to be your best person. It's all hopeless. Salvation is in Christ alone. That's where it is. Peace, joy is in Christ alone and accepting what he has done. But Paul says there's an urgency here. There's an urgency. It says here that he enjoins, I think the authorized says commands men that they everywhere repent. Now you have a responsibility to a creator, to a savior God, to repent of your sins. Oh, you say, I'm not so bad as the next one. If you've only committed one sin, and how impossible would that be? You still need the full cleansing power of the blood of Christ, and it's available to you tonight. It's the only saving thing in the world, is the blood of Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, let the blood of Jesus come down, you know, on these scales. Think of that man Belshazzar again. He was told he was weighed in the balances. You know the old scales of old, the two cups on the chains. And when the thing was level, that was the right weight. You're weighed in the balances and found wanting. That man went to his doom, you know, Belshazzar. Where would you stand tonight if you were weighed in God's balances? Would the blood of Christ come down on your side? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. That was true in Egypt. That's true tonight. The blood of Christ is the only safe place. Trust in that, you know, because he has set a day and he's going to judge the habitable world in righteousness by the man whom he has appointed. That's the same blessed person that is offered as a saviour to you tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And there's a day set. We like to think of the day of grace being lengthened out. Well, that's the heart of God. He wants all men to be saved. But actually, he set a day in which Christ will rule the habitable world in righteousness by the man whom he has appointed. You know, judgment is coming. And as I've said before, there's no further warning. Christ will come and take those who love him. And I look round this room and I see persons who love the Lord Jesus. And they will be taken to glory. This is in the scriptures. This is the word of God, you know. This word cannot be broken, every word of it. It's set aside in the world today. But everyone who loves the Lord will be taken to glory. And what's left will be for dreadful judgment. I'm not preaching judgment in the glad tidings, but you need to understand that if you refuse God's grace, then judgment awaits you. You think of the cost to the blessed God that these glad tidings should come to you free tonight. You think of the immense price that was paid at Calvary's cross. If you have any appreciation of that, you would understand that God has no alternative but to judge those who refuses grace. His love is towards you. He wants to bless you. Satan, his only interest in you is to destroy you. That's Satan's only interest in man from the outset was to destroy man. And that's what's happening in the world tonight. Men's lives are being ruined and destroyed by Satan. They think they're free, but they're in bondage to Satan. Thank God for the one who's undoing the works of Satan. The power of Christ to save tonight. Take you from the clutches of Satan, bring you under into the kingdom of the Son of his love. What a blessing is available to the sinner. Do you have peace in your heart? We'll be singing about peace shortly. Do you have that in your heart? Do you have joy in your heart? Do you have a knowledge that your past has been settled by the shedding of the blood of Christ and that your future is secure? Do you know this God, the God of the Bible, the God who's been revealed, the only living God, the only way of salvation? Not a popular message in the world tonight, you know. They're trying to make accommodation for every faith and say you can find your own way to God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way into a knowledge of God but through the Lord Jesus Christ. May you find them tonight for his name's sake.